Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, we worry about a lot of things as we move through life. As kids, we worry about exams. We worry about pleasing our parents. We worry about keeping our friends. We worry about winning the game, whatever it is. And then as adults, the worries can expand to include larger and deeper concerns. We can worry about paying the bills. We can worry about avoiding accidents and catastrophic illness, which is terribly expensive. We can worry about job security in economic downtimes. Uncertainties. We can worry about the people we love, maybe losing them. And if we're married and have children, we never stop worrying about the kids. They always say you just worry about different things, but you still worry about them. This past week on television, there was a program about two families here in Milwaukee. African-American and Caucasian, over a long period of time as they struggled with economic realities and struggled with trying to pay for the house. And it was just a very, troubling account of history. What should we wear? What should we eat? Those are very real questions for lots of people. Where do we go for answers and help? Behind it all is a burning question. What kind of vision do we have of how we can get through whatever the difficulty may be? Or, as the gospel suggested, the deepest question is, which God will any of us serve? Who's the God to which we turn? It's a very basic, fundamental choice. And the gospel offers, from the first century, two possibilities, two extremes, if you will, two very obvious contrasts. On the one hand, a mysterious one for us in the 21st century, Mammon, an ancient Phoenician god, a god of possessions and property and prosperity, a god of comfort and power, on the one hand, or the God of Israel, a god that's not in a remote shrine, but as a matter of fact, in the midst of God's people, a god that wants justice, a god that respects compassion and mercy. Service. And the gospel invites us to inquire as deeply as possible, which one do we really serve? When we walk into the temple of our own hearts, what do we look for when we get there? Our God, first and foremost, is a God who promises never to abandon us. Never. No matter what we may feel or think. A God who promises to care for us and journeys with us all the way through the peaks and valleys and the high points and low points of life. Or to borrow the wonderful words of the marriage promise, a God who promises to stay with us in sickness and in health, in good days and more difficult ones. Our God is that God. And the God, that God, does not protect us from our own foolishness, allows us the freedom to make our own choices, and in fact encourages us to make choices, but then stays with us even if we make bad ones. Will not abandon us, no matter what we do. As the prophet Ezekiel said, our God is a God who opens graves, even the ones we dig for ourselves. So that's the first thing. God loves us no matter what we do. And as I often like to say, reminding myself, we don't have to be good for God to love us, because God will love us into goodness if we just let him. That's the first thing. Our God is a God who stays with us. Second thing, our God does not shield us from pain. Like any parent who doesn't want her kids, his kids, to suffer, would do anything to prevent hurts in life, but recognize you can't do that. Even for people you love a great deal, you can't keep them from some kind of pain in life. And so parents, and God, being a great analog, tries to provide the vision and the strength to get through the crisis, the pain, the hurt, whatever it may be. Tries to provide us what we need to help live with any heartache, to learn from it, if you will, to become wiser and stronger. That's why we Christians keep talking about the Paschal mystery that includes both death and resurrection. Our God is a God who doesn't keep us from pain. Didn't keep his chosen son from pain. Even when we have in the gospel that terrible plea from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? It can feel that way sometimes. But the God of our faith, the God we trust, the God we try to believe in, is present whether we feel the presence or not. Like the risen Lord walking with the disciples the night of Easter Sunday to Emmaus, and they were lamenting all the terrible things that happened. And he said, don't you understand that the Son of Man had to suffer in order to enter into glory? So our God, secondly, not secondarily, but secondly, does not shield us from pain, but lives with us in the process, journeys with us through it. And our God wants to make us partners in the transformation of the world. Our God wants to make us partners in helping heal the pain of other people, to reach out with the best of our wisdom and help and any possessions we may have or property we may have to help other people get through life. We're in this together. That's part of the Christian vision, that it is not that is primarily a community of interconnected people who are also interconnected with the mystery and presence of God. God wants to make us partners in the healing of the world. Not servants, but partners. That's what the covenant is all about. God promises to be faithful to us and asks us to be faithful if possible. Joshua, back 3,200 years ago, on the edge of entering the promised land, asked the people once again, choose the God you're going to take into this promised land. And Joshua said, it's Joshua 24, said, as far as me and my people, we choose the Lord, the one we call Yahweh, who makes things come into being. We choose the Lord. And Jesus asks each of us this morning, as he did countless times through life, including our very baptism, what do you ask? Who do you choose? And we are claimed. But this gospel isn't just about us as individuals. It's about the whole community. It's about the whole church. Our God is a God who won't abandon the whole church and every parish congregation that makes it up. Our God is a God that is with us in whatever pain we have to suffer, even the ones we cause for ourselves. And our God wants us to be instruments in the transformation of the world. So, is it simply a God of prosperity, a God of possessions, a God of property, comfort and power? Or is it the God of justice and compassion and mercy and service? It's the question that hangs before us as we think about Mardi Gras and prepare for Lent. It's the question that we have to ask each other, ourselves and each other again and again, and I have to ask myself, which is the God I serve? we do it together best of all. Gospel of the Lord.